Text 51551. Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
While we move on, rape victims should be allowed to give evidence by video link and consideration should be given to allow them pre-record their evidence, according to the Council of the Bar of Ireland. A consultation process initiated by the Minister for Justice and Equality is currently underway to review the investigation and prosecution of sexual offences. The review is chaired by Professor Tom O'Malley. Well, the Council of the Bar of Ireland has made a comprehensive submission to the O'Malley review, and Tony McGillicuddy, barrister and member of the Bar Council, joins me now. Thanks so much for coming in, Tony.
Good morning, Miriam.
Listen, spell out for me, what are the main recommendations in your submission to the statutory review group?
Well, Miriam, the bar has a unique position in relation to these matters because our barristers every day, our members, they prosecute criminal offences for the DPP, but also represent accused persons on the other side who are accused of these type of offences. And many barristers actually do work for the DPP and on the defence side, which is a unique position for Irish barristers to be in. So the Bar of Ireland wanted to take a lead role in this debate to provide information to the public on this, and our submission is on the website and available on its Twitter handle, and also to try and be constructive about the things that need to be done to assist complainants in relation to the process, to ensure that they have their evidence heard in a proper and comprehensive manner, but also to protect the rights of accused persons and to enhance that. And one of the key things we wanted to say in this submission is that there is possibly an unnecessary conflict that's developing, that one set of rights has to be enhanced and the other has to be diminished. Both interests, in our view, have to be protected and enhanced, and that can be done. They shouldn't be seen to be in conflict with each other. So one of our main recommendations as a start point for your listeners is that the delays in these cases coming to trial has to be alleviated. It's taking too long from the time that a person is charged to the time that a trial takes place. In some instances, it's taking up to 3 years, and that's too long. So from the time a person is charged to the time that the trial takes place, the complainant needs to know that they can give their evidence in a quicker manner.
What about video evidence? Does the Bar Council think that rape victims should be allowed to give video evidence?
One of the things we've said in our submission about that issue is that some of those things might be alleviated if there were more judges that were appointed so the trials could take place quicker, and that there was pre-trial hearings that dealt with some of the procedural problems in advance. Now, in relation to video evidence, there is provisions for video evidence for particular types of vulnerable witnesses. So child witnesses can have their evidence, their direct evidence pre-recorded, persons with mental disorders, and children can give their whole evidence, but examination in chief and cross-examination by video link. And there's other protections as well. What we said about the video link issue is that it may be appropriate to expand that and to allow for cross-examination of complainants to take place in a pre-recorded fashion. So it would actually be their whole evidence would be recorded in advance and just played to a jury. But there are difficulties with that, and there are some concerns about that. And what we've said is that there's a pilot project in place in England at the moment that must be examined further, and that we should maybe try and do some of the other things that we've said in our submission, like try and alleviate the delays, try and do some other procedural things with the trial process, for instance in relation to cross-examination as to previous sexual history, and that might lessen some of the other issues. We're not against it, but we're saying that it needs further study, because what you would want to avoid, and one thing which would be key to avoid, is that if you were to pre-record cross-examination of complainants, and if the process and if the trial process hasn't been run properly up to date, you might have the complainant then having to come back again before the jury and to be re-cross-examined a second time. Now, that's not actually going to help, it's going to detract.
And also, I'm just thinking, I worked for a lawyer a while before going into broadcasting, and I remember watching juries. How key is it, in a way, for a juror to be able to see the complainant in front of them? Is it the same as pre-recorded cross-examination?
There are studies that have been done in other jurisdictions where concerns have been raised that the intimacy and immediacy of the jury to the witnesses is lost somewhat if they don't see the person present in the room, courtroom, and have the chance to assess their demeanour as they're giving evidence. And we must remember that what we have to do here is ensure that juries decide cases on the evidence, that they're deciding on the evidence before them. Now, the statistics as they are, which are limited, show that the conviction rates where the cases are done kind of by video evidence as against evidence in court, there's very little difference in it. But we do have to take account that we want juries to have the best evidence before them. And there are other steps that can be taken for some complainants. One of the things we mentioned in our submissions is that there's a provision in Irish law there since 1992 for intermediaries to be used.
Yeah, very interesting. Tell us about intermediaries.
Intermediaries, they're used in other cases. They're used in other countries. Yeah. They're quite widely used in England and Wales, and they're now being used in Northern Ireland. We have very few, or to my knowledge, no trained intermediaries in this jurisdiction. If intermediaries are required for a case in this jurisdiction, they have to be effectively imported from England and Wales. They can be there for particular types of vulnerable witnesses who need assistance to understand the questioning that is being made of them in trials. Their use is very limited so far because the provision from 1992 is very restrictive. And even in addition, even if they could be used, there's nobody trained in this jurisdiction to do it. So it's one of the points we raise. And what we do say, which is, I think a key point, is that sometimes we have the law there, we just need
we
to use things better. There's other things like ground rules hearings that can be used as well, whereby the cross-examination of a witness might be flagged to the judge in advance, so there's age-appropriate or intellectual ability-appropriate questions put to a witness. And so there's a lot of steps that can be taken, and the key thing we want to do is to try and push the debate forward in an informed and a constructive manner.
And also, I think, you know, we've heard from organisations who represent victims of rape, you know, that the trial process, should we see it ourselves, can sometimes be incredibly difficult and adversarial. And sometimes lawyers, they want to cross-examine alleged victims in their past sexual history. What are you recommending in relation to this?
Well, one of the things that's important, again, for your listenership to know is that if a defendant in a criminal case wants to cross-examine on previous sexual history, they have to apply to the judge to do that. They're not allowed to do it as of right. They have to make an application and they have to show that it's relevant to the issues in that particular case. The complainant has a right to legal representation for that part of the case, for that argument as to whether it's appropriate that they're examined or cross-examined.
So it's the judge's call.
It's the judge's call. And there's a restraint. It has to be relevant to one of the issues in the case. What we do recommend is that at the moment, a defence legal team can inform the judge during the course of the trial that they want to cross-examine on previous sexual history. And we believe that that notification should be given in advance of the trial so that a complainant can have her legal representation, which, by the way, is provided for under the civil legal aid. So there's civil legal aid provided for that, for a complainant, so that the person can be advised on that before the trial commences. It's a small thing, but it's an important thing. And it's important that the bar, and it's one of the things in making this submission, is to try and help inform the public of what the law is. That the legal professions need to do more to inform the public of what the law is when these things are debated. And that will assist public understanding. And if there are issues for reform, that we engage with them constructively.
Well, you've been very clear here this morning, Tony McGillicuddy, barrister, member of the Bar Council. Thanks for coming. I think it's obviously, as you told me when you came in, you come from Scarted Glen, just up the road from where my father...
Law school.
Up the road from where my father came in Curragh and County Kerry. That's why you were so good. We'll take a break.
Thank you very much.
Today with Miriam O'Callaghan on RTE Radio 1.